We all know how overwhelming it can feel to try to decide what to eat, what's healthy, what's not. The options are endless, which is why my mom and I have been absolutely loving Factor. If you're ready to optimize your nutrition this year, Factor is perfect for you. Factor has chef-made gourmet meals that make eating well easy. They're dietitian approved and ready to heat and eat in just 2 minutes, so you can fuel right and feel great no matter what life throws at you. Factor arrives fresh and fully prepared, so it's perfect for any active, busy lifestyle, which is exactly why my mom and I have been loving it so much. They have 40 options across 8 dietary preferences on the menu each week, so it's easy to pick meals tailored to your goals. You can choose from preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, or Keto. And best of all, Factor can help you feel your best all day long with wholesome smoothies, breakfast, grab-and-go snacks, and more add-ons. I got some juices in my last delivery that I've been loving having as an in-between my delicious meals. So eat smart with Factor. Get started at factormeals.com/factorpodcast and use code FACTORPODCAST to get 50% off your first blocks plus free shipping. That's FACTORPODCAST at factormeals.com/factorpodcast to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It is me, Michelle, your co-host, and I am sitting here yet again with my mother, Barb, and we're so super excited to be chatting with you all this week. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
So nice to be with you, as per usual.
It's very nice.
Do you find it nice to be with me?
Of course I do.
You know, I find myself always saying that, but I never create the space for you to put that back on me.
You're so cute. Yes. I love being here every week with you. I love that you said creating space.
Yeah.
It's kind of
a teaser,
a little teaser for some of the things we're going to talk about today. But yes, I am
an
thrilled.
Easter egg, if you will.
Yes. This is one of my favorite things of the week, is sitting down having this conversation with you and with our community. So
it is always a joy. And, you know, if you've been listening to the show since the beginning, almost 3 years ago.
I know.
We're approaching the 3-year anniversary, which is truly wild.
Where does the time
go? What is time? Mm-hmm. You know, we had this idea to create this show to allow you all to feel like you're sitting in our living room, participating or listening in on the conversations that you and I have as mother-daughter, as coworkers, as empathetic human beings, you know, picking apart life's complicated and interesting topics. And, you know, 3 years into it, we've tackled a lot of issues. We've tackled and dived into a lot of personal struggles, global struggles, you know, personal development topics, et cetera, et cetera. And it's true. It's not a bit that very often we choose topics based on our lived experiences. And this week's episode is particularly poignant for us as we've been navigating some personal challenges. And in the midst of it all, you and I looked at each other and said, this should be an episode. So here we are.
I love it. And I think what I've just to piggyback onto what you just said, what I love so much about this is we have the precious opportunity to share our personal experiences with the world. And everything that we share and everything that we talk about, we've been through. We're never sharing anything that say, you know, oh, we think this and this person said this and I know some other people have experienced this and this is what we think about it. It's always what we feel about it. And then what we think about it, how we've translated the feelings or the trauma or the disorganization or the troubles, you know, that we face in life or the difficulties, how we've internalized them in our own personal lives, individually and sometimes collectively, often collectively, and sharing our thoughts with you and sharing our feelings with you and our steps or our tools or the things that we've done to try to navigate life's challenges or try to navigate life in general, to live that, you know, is authentic, integral, fun,
messy,
happy, messy life that we all are trying to live to the best of our ability. So that's why I love it so much. And you're right. This topic this week, usually we take topics that you all have recommended or that you've asked us to talk about.
A combination of sorts.
Yes. And they've usually, and there have always been things that we've experienced, but this one in particular just happened.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
This is fresh off the press.
You're in the woods with us.
Yes.
This week. But you know, I've personally dealt with this. You and I talk about this a lot. But I know, and I've heard from a lot of you that this is something that people who are on a spiritual path or a personal development journey, or who are, you know, taking out time in their daily lives to better themselves, this is something that we struggle with. And I guess, first off, if this resonates with you, you're not alone. And we're going to talk about it. So what do you do when you show up not the best version of yourself? You know, we talk about being the best version, becoming the best version, the tools to be the best version. But sometimes life happens and we get triggered, or, you know, we lose our presence or get confused, and maybe we say something we don't mean, or snap at someone, or maybe yell at someone, or have a knee-jerk reaction. How do you handle it? And that's what we're going to dive into today, because it's a layered topic. It's tricky. It's certainly something that I think for both of us produces a lot of self-judgment and self-criticism. And we're going to dive into all the aspects of it.
Because I think it's interesting for me, Michelle, to think about that idea of what do we do when we're not showing up as the best version of ourselves? And what does that even mean, really? Because we all have different ideas of what the best version of ourselves are. Like, what I think the best version of myself is might not be what you think the best version of yourself is. And so it goes down the line. So it's interesting to just even reflect on that as humans. How is it that we want to show up in life? What does it mean to be the best version of who we are? Or what is it? What are our values, and what are our visions, and what are our thoughts for ourselves, and how we truly want to treat other people, how we truly want to show up, but also how do we want to treat ourselves, and how do we feel about ourselves? And as you said, the topic today, what happens when we're triggered?
Yeah.
Or when we lose our temper and we say something that we wish that we hadn't said. And I've reflected back on this a lot because it happened to me recently that I really got triggered by a conversation that I was having with another person.
That I happened to overhear.
That you happened to be in the room. You heard the whole thing. And I think where this got tricky, and this, I guess we might as well just dive right in and talk about it. Where it got tricky for me is boundaries were crossed in the conversation. I was triggered because of the other person's response that was not a kind or appropriate response in my mind.
And you were feeling disrespected.
And I was feeling incredibly disrespected. I was feeling incredibly I was feeling really like who I was, what I was thinking, what I was saying didn't matter at all. So I felt like I was really talking to the wall.
Like pushed in a corner.
And pushed in a corner, and that it didn't matter what I said. I was started off calm. I started off saying, hey, this is not okay. Mm-hmm. This is not appropriate in my mind, and went through all the reasons why I was feeling the way that I was and why some of the things that were being said to me were not okay. And the person kept pushing back. And it was, I don't know if I said to Michelle later, I don't know if I've ever I mean, certainly probably have in my 68 years. I don't know if I've ever though been in a situation like that where there was no giving. There was no, oh, I can kind of see how you feel. No, that did not happen on the other end of this call. Mm-hmm. It was truly just, this is the way it is. No, I'm sorry. No, nothing. Just this is the way it is. So it was interesting for me. I truly did lose my temper. Yeah. I thought, this is not okay. And the conversation didn't go well. I ended up ending the conversation by saying, I think we need to stop. I think we need to talk about this and I'll get back to you.
And I think you guys kind of mutually agreed that you couldn't really find a solution in talking to each other.
Yes, because I was getting nowhere with what I was trying to say.
And someone else to intervene.
Yeah, I said, we need to take this further. So, but what happened and why we're having this episode, why I really wanted to have the episode when I was talking to Michelle about it, and she's the one that said, we have to make an episode of this, is what happened was I did not like how I reacted, some of the things I said and some of the things that triggered me. I really got angry because I felt like I couldn't make any headway. I could not. It was impossible. And so I was talking with Michelle. And so ultimately I said, you need to handle this situation. I would love it.
Step in, Michelle.
Yeah, I would love it if you, because you had some great ideas. You had some thoughts of how you were going to have the conversation. And I realized in that moment that this person triggers me because we've had other episodes where I've just backed off.
Yep.
I've just said, okay, this isn't working.
It's been building.
It's been building for a long time. And this person tends to be very disrespectful. She's in a position of power and she doesn't really care. Mm-hmm. She's just saying, I'm just going by the book. She doesn't really care about how it affects the human, in my opinion. She just really just cares about just going through the motions of doing the job. So it was very hard for me because I'm a very passionate, compassionate, loving human. I want to always treat people with respect and I want to be treated with respect.
This person was being very black and white and you live in the gray, like we talk about.
Exactly.
And there was no room for the gray in this specific situation. And it was kind of unnecessary.
Totally unnecessary.
We're not talking about like nuclear codes or world peace. Like this is
no, totally.
Something that really could have had some leeway.
Exactly. And
from where you both were coming from.
Definitely. So, and I think that's the whole point of this. What happens when that, how do you feel when that happens to you? And I want to share my feelings and where I went with it and why I felt this was so important to talk about. When you lose your temper, when you snap at someone, when you're really feeling totally disrespected and you can't get anywhere with them, but you know that you have to deal with the person. You know you just can't say, I wish you well, goodbye.
Right.
And I have the luxury of being able to say, Michelle, would you mind stepping in here? Because I don't want to deal with this person anymore. I've now set a very strong boundary and I will not deal with
this
person.
The relationship was
again.
In a place where you're not going to get anywhere.
No. And so you can try
and
to get
need,
somewhere.
Yeah. There needed to be solutions
right. And
communication. It wasn't a situation where you could just end communication and move on.
Yes. So I really,
it's an active situation.
Exactly. So I took a deep dive. I was asking myself, and I posed this question to all of you. Have you ever looked back at your day, you know, or at an incident in your day or a conversation or a time when you were having a conversation with another person or with a group of people and thought, wow, I could have handled that better. And what I came to realize in this whole thing that I lost my temper. I was triggered by this person because it wasn't the first time that this had happened, but this was the most egregious time of the things that she was saying and expecting to have happened that were not appropriate and very disrespectful. What I realized as I was easing off the anger and the very irritation, and how can someone disrespect another human being like this? Because I go down that path. What started to happen was as the anger started to dissipate toward the person, because, you know, once the person's no longer in our sphere and I already made the decision, I said, I've set a boundary, no more. Then what happened, which was kind of to my surprise, but not really, was I really started getting hard on myself.
Yeah.
How did I let that happen? Because when we do something like that, if we truly have all the values and the ideas of how it is we want to live our lives, we have to not think that we are perfect. And I kept telling myself, Barbara, you're not perfect. this was a trigger. Now learn from the trigger. What was it that triggered you? What is it about this that you, as you said, Michelle, that you kind of had seen this building and building and building?
Yeah.
And so I share all of this to say that we truly have to really cut it off when we start getting down on ourselves for acting out of character, let's say, when we have this certain desire to be the person that we are and the things, how we're going to handle certain things, when we don't actually do that all of the time, because we're not ever going to do that all the time.
Right.
And I think the introspection for me, and then I'll let you start talking a little bit, was...
No, you're good.
The introspection for me was, it's never too late to just own it and move on. And by owning it, it doesn't mean you got to call the person up and apologize. It doesn't mean you have to say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, and all those things, because you're feeling like, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. It just means owning, wow. Because where I came to all of this, and maybe many of you can relate to this, I was being triggered from past episodes with this person.
Yeah.
And I finally stood up for myself. I finally didn't just get off the call and just say, oh my gosh, I can't deal with this anymore. Let me just do whatever I want to do.
When but do
I,
you think standing up for yourself, did you, do you feel that you stood up for yourself in a aligned way?
No, that's what I'm trying to say.
Sorry.
I finally, yes. In an aligned way, as I look back on it, I could have handled it differently. But because I wasn't aware of the trigger, and this is where I want to really put the emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
I think you and I talked about this quite a bit. I was triggered in the crossing of the boundaries, the disrespect. And I was also triggered with, Barb, you already knew this about this person because you've been through it already.
You had ignored it.
I had ignored it. I had bypassed. And that's where I really want to get to. I had bypassed what I already knew to be true. And when I got the text from this person, I need to talk to you for a few minutes. My first reaction was, oh my goodness, I don't want to talk to this person. This is not going to go well. And I even said to you, I should have just let you make the call.
Mm-hmm.
And so the teaching in all of this, and why I feel like it's so powerful to share this as a podcast episode, is that standing up for yourself is hard sometimes. And it's hard to do it, as you said, Michelle, in an aligned way. It's hard to stay calm. It's hard to stay present. But many, many times, and often I think all of us do, we do it. But when we are triggered, and when we haven't set the boundaries, and when we already know that a person is problematic for us or causes us to feel like, oh my gosh, you know, there's a Hindu saying, the agitation of the mind called vrittis. I use that a lot because for me, that word is so powerful. The vrittis in my mind, the agitation in my mind when I saw that text was through the roof.
You were already starting on third base of agitation.
Exactly.
So the conversation was doomed from the start.
Exactly. And so I say this to also add that what happened for me, and what I think happens for a lot of us, and we talked about this in one of our other episodes in 2024, is that we can feel suffering. Like it's suffering when people are disrespectful to you. It's suffering when we have to interact with a person who just isn't kind, who doesn't have the graciousness to be able to take the middle path and let's work this out together.
Yeah.
So what happens then is when we get off the phone with someone like that, if we've lost our temper, if we've not, as you said, beautifully, you know, handled it in a aligned way that we would have hoped that we could have, we compound the suffering and start piling on more suffering on ourselves. What is wrong with me? Why did I handle it that way? Why didn't I just do this? Why didn't I just do that? I knew that she was a trigger. I knew that this was going to happen. So we really go off track with punishing ourselves. So now we've had this whole agitating moment, and now it's transferred into what is the matter with me and punishing ourselves even more, which is compounding the suffering that we're feeling. And instead of doing that, it took me a while to get here. When I say a while, it took me like several hours.
That's not that long in the grand scheme of things.
No, I understand that. But the suffering was immense. I was so hurt. I was so upset. And then I was so mad at myself.
Yeah.
For not handling it differently when I already knew. But I guess I just thought, oh, I could handle this. And so when somebody's triggering you like that, that is that egregious or that strong, I could feel the goosebumps in my body. It is okay. We need to take the permission to not engage. We need to take the permission to figure out what's another solution.
Create space.
Create space. Like, an option could have been not even responding at all. Forget not even asking you to respond, not responding at all, taking some space. How do I want to deal with this? How does this person make me feel? So that's why it's so important, after I was punishing myself and adding to more of my suffering, I thought, let me just sit down for a moment with some space, with some quiet, and gain some understanding of what actually happened, what has been happening, and what can I do differently? Because I'm going to tell you all that right now, there is never any excuse for bad behavior. Mm-hmm. And this person's behavior has been atrocious. And then when I look at how I responded to her, that's not the behavior that I would have wanted to respond to either.
Was your behavior considered bad behavior?
I don't think it was bad. It was aggressive. I had very aggressive, very firm, very loud, trying to get my point across because I was being met with such disrespect. So instead of just pausing and taking the space then and saying, look, this is not working, we need to get off the phone and come back to this later. So yeah, I think it's really enforcing that idea of the power of the pause, and we don't have to engage. When we start to feel our blood pressure rising or our energy going off the charts or our voice getting loud, it's so important to know that we have the permission to take the pause. We don't have to stay in the conversation.
That is the power of the pause.
That is the power. And it's what we talk about. And I think where I got to all of these insights and all these things that we get to over and over and over again for the rest of our lives, we don't just get one insight. That's why I love Maya Angelou's quote, "Forgive yourself for not knowing what you didn't know before you learned it." We're learning all the time. And I learned a whole new thing in this moment is I know the power of the pause, but literally the power of the pause for this situation needed to start from me not even responding to the text to begin with. Mm-hmm. And taking the pause and saying, oh my gosh, I know this person triggers me. I know that it's off the walls whenever we have a conversation and I have to back off. So looking at it in that regard, knowing that, give yourself grace and permission to do whatever you need to do to protect yourself. So, you know, we talk about so much protecting your peace, mm-hmm. protecting your sanity, protecting your own respect for yourself. And so it brought me to this, why I felt like we needed to share it as an episode, is just unpacking, talking to myself and unpacking the whole situation and realizing I deserve better, and not in an arrogant, nasty way. I don't want to have a relationship with someone who's going to treat me like this over and over again. And so looking for what other solutions could there be? Is there another person that can actually intervene in the situation if it is someone that has to stay in your life? Mm-hmm. Is there some other way, looking for the other way, finding another way so that you don't have to be in a situation like that, feeling disrespected or feeling like you just can't handle it or feeling less than, or feeling like, oh, well, maybe, you know, maybe I have to deal with this and I don't know how to deal with this. What's the matter with me? No, there are people that trigger us in life that we should have nothing to do with, that we maybe can't have a conversation with. And as I always say, you wish them well and you keep on moving.
Right.
You know, I don't wish any harm to anyone. I don't wish any ill will to anyone, but I also don't wish any harm or ill will to myself. And that really put a lot on my peace and my sanity.
Right. Yeah.
That's a lot.
No, it's a good retelling of the situation and the dynamics that were at play. You know, as someone who was kind of on the outside looking in and bearing witness to this situation, and obviously knowing you so well and knowing the situation, I think that, you know, the crux of this topic and why we wanted to chat about it today is, I don't mean this in any disrespect to you, but I don't think that you handled it in the best way, as far as who I think you are and how you communicate things. And, you know, when you got off the phone and we were talking, I was like, you know, that didn't sound good. What is happening? And then, you know, of course you said, I'm triggered and she triggers me, and I knew I shouldn't have gotten on that call. But I think what's interesting about that is, and for all of us, like you said, in your reflection, you're like, could I have handled that better? Could I have done better? What could I do differently going forward? And it's getting into that mindset, I think, that's most important when we have these instances where maybe we've said something or did something that wasn't in alignment, realizing, okay, that wasn't really great. That wasn't my best work. How could I be differently or do differently moving forward? And, you know, not to kind of like break the fourth wall here, but there was another element in this dynamic too, where, and you and I talk about this a lot, but it's like giving ourselves grace to make mistakes, no matter who we are or no matter like what our reputations are. And you and I have had this conversation often where, you know, you're peaceful Barb. And I think there's a perception that you're perfect. Like, you know how to handle things perfectly. And of course, that's not true. You're a human being and you make mistakes or you get angry. But you and I had that conversation of like, you know, if someone gets in an argument with you, are they going to, you know, say, oh, you're not practicing what you preach. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's another layer of embracing imperfection and the human nature of making mistakes, and another layer of self-compassion and self-forgiveness, which I think is what you were battling in this situation, because you do hold yourself to such a high standard. And I know you didn't feel like your participation in that conversation lived up to your standards. And so I think what's important about this conversation is, you know, acknowledging for all of us that no matter who we are, no matter if we're like the Pope or the Dalai Lama or someone of high stature that, you know, actively preaches and talks about kindness and compassion and patience, like, we're going to make mistakes. And it's like, how can we all take ourselves and other people off pedestals to realize that none of us are perfect and we're not going to always show up perfectly? And it's like, instead of being and having judgment about when we don't show up how we want to, how can we learn from it?
And I think that's really beautifully said, Michelle, because I think as I reflected back on this, had I dealt with the disrespect from the get-go with this person, instead of, oh, well, you know, maybe they don't mean it, or it's okay, I can figure out a way around it, you know, not wanting to deal with it head on. And I think it was a perfect analogy for me. Like, you have to deal with what is not okay in the moment, or at least take a pause and reflect back on it. And I just kept going with this person thinking it was going to be okay, you know, having many instances of disrespect instead of treating the problem and all of the things that were happening.
Taking control of our health and wellness can be confusing and overwhelming. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, they all mess with our hormones. Then, of course, there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause. And while it's natural, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is, we don't have to suffer through any more of it anymore. Because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty of adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, occasional bloating, and no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BarbKnowsBest at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BARBKNOWSBEST for 15% off today. Hey friends, health, wellness, and aging are all things that we think about all the time. But did you know that your actual age might not be the same as your biological age? That's right, it's not just about your birth date. Your body could be older or younger than you think. And that's where True Diagnostic comes in. With their True test, you can discover your biological age plus get insights into the things like your risk for heart disease, Alzheimer's, and even early mortality. And the best part? It's all done from the comfort of your own home. No prescriptions, no lab visits, just a simple test sent right to your door. I just ordered my TrueAge test, my mom did too, and we're super excited to see what it reveals about our health, our wellness, if we really are as young as we think we are or as healthy as we think we are. We're so excited for those results. By tracking your biological age, you can actually see how the changes you make, whether that's exercise, diet, or sleep, affect your health over time. It's all about taking those actionable steps to improve your well-being, which, as you know, are so important to the both of us. TrueAge Test is the same technology that's used and trusted by leading doctors, researchers, and health experts around the world. So think about it. What would it be like to know exactly how your lifestyle is impacting your body? True Diagnostic makes it easy to get started, offering simple, actionable insights that you can use right away. So, ready to find out your biological age? Right now, our listeners can get 20% off their entire order at truediagnostic.com by using the code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout. That's True Diagnostic, TrueDiagnostic.com. Just use the code BARBKNOWSBEST to save 20%. Plus, if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 20% off the 50% discount. Discover your true age today.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
And so, yes. And so I think you're right. When people are trying to put you on a pedestal or on a standard as well, when people are, you know, pushing you, expecting it, they're just going to roll right over. They're going to roll right over you. You have to be able to take away that idea that this is not okay. And if we act in a way that's not in alignment, or we actually get triggered to a place where we're not really happy with, as we look back on it, at how it was, being okay with that. Because I think you're using the word mistake. I don't think I've labeled it as a mistake. I've labeled it as, you know what? I am a human being. It wasn't the best version of me that showed up for that conversation. And I think it's really important for me to acknowledge that, but not beat myself up over it. And I think this is where we as humans can get into trouble, when we don't acknowledge that, wait a minute, I could have made a different choice here. The choice I made did not serve me, nor do I think it even served the other person. Mm-hmm. So what could I do differently? So that's really the message for me in this. How can I do something differently and not be so self-righteous, thinking that I'm beyond the idea that I could, oh, this was not a choice that I wish I had made, but I'm learning from it. Because now I see, when someone triggers me off the bat, which is what happened in this situation a year ago, 2 years ago, I need to address it. Because what I see happened is I got triggered massively. And as I was saying earlier, what happens when the anger about what the other person did, then we start to reflect it back on ourselves. We start to beat ourselves up, as you were saying. The idea that, oh my gosh, I wish I hadn't done that. All the things, you know, why didn't I take a pause? Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? And that never is helpful. So you stop that behavior, you stop that adding on to it, and you start really looking at what could I have done differently? And now what am I going to do going forward? That's where I'm going with all this now. What am I going to do going forward? What have I learned from this?
Yeah.
And what I've learned from this is, stand up for myself in the beginning. Do not allow people to disrespect you in the beginning. And if you can't get headway with the person, then you go, you there's always another way. I think that's what I've learned. I could think of five other ways I could have gone with this besides asking you to intervene here. I could have think of four other, there are four other ways I could have gone with this and I did not. I just suffered or I just endured it. Oh, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. Yeah. Oh, maybe she didn't mean it. Oh, and she must be having a bad day. So I feel very, very, very strongly that when we have acted in a way that we're not proud of, or that it isn't a way that we would have hoped that we could have responded, you're human and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, harming other people is not my thing.
Right.
So that's where I started beating myself up because I lost my temper and all the things. And so looking at that, I say, okay, I crossed a line there of, you know, losing my temper and raising my voice. What would I do differently? And so as I repeat one more time, what I would do differently is set the boundary and exit the person out of my life. Because I now have enough information over the past 2 years that this person and I cannot be in the same
space.
So it's important. And I think that's okay. And then when you really realize that and let yourself off the hook for, you know, going outside of what you felt was who you were in alignment with and saying, okay, this happened. Now what? And I just think it's really important to understand that and to be okay with it. And how can we be okay with it? How can we truly be okay with that, knowing that whoever you're having a disagreement with or some issue with, you're two different people acting in two different ways, and we are unique human beings. We're not always going to see things the same way because she's adamant at the way she sees it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not.
Right.
And so
you were not seeing eye to eye in any way, shape, or form.
No. And how she responds in other instances is so contrary to what she was trying to tell me has to be done. So I could see all of the things that were just not correct, but didn't do anything about it and let it build. So I just say all that the most important thing that I feel in this whole conversation is when you've acted out of alignment in some behavior that you're not happy that you did, you look back and say, oh my gosh, I wish I hadn't said that, or I wish I hadn't done it that way. Instead of beating yourself up, which gets you stuck and gets you even madder and gets you even more upset with the other person, but then more upset with yourself. Instead of all that, just say, wait a minute, take a break, take a pause. What could I have done differently? And really start outlining the ways that you could do something differently. And then the most important thing is, what do I need to do to protect myself?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're being disrespected. If I hadn't been disrespected and it was just a difference of opinion, it would have been a different story.
Right.
Especially when you're being disrespected, especially when you're being put down, especially when you're being told things. So it's so important to say, okay, how can I do this differently? What are the three or four different ways I could have handled it differently? And now what do I need to do moving forward?
Yeah. And I think a part of that is breaking down our perceptions of that being a kind person or a caring person means being a doormat or accepting anyone's behavior because I don't want to disagree or I don't want to go, you know, against someone, or, you know, I have to be amenable because that's what people expect from me or that's who I am, you know, in the peaceful Barb conversation.
But even not that, I just want to interrupt, even not that.
But I'm saying,
even not that though, that it's not okay because of people pleasing maybe. Even I remember all my life feeling like, oh, I can't do that because I don't want people not to like me in the earlier days of my life. Even it doesn't, we don't necessarily have a persona sometimes of ourselves. We have the idea that we just want everybody to like us. We don't want to rock the boat.
Right.
We don't want to be mean.
That's what I was saying.
Oh, I misunderstood what you were saying then. I don't think it has anything to do with having some kind of a stature on social media or a presence in the world. I think it has to do a lot of times with our own inner feelings about, oh my gosh,
yeah,
that's not me. Or, oh my gosh, I can't be that way.
Well, of course it's both, I think.
Yes, I agree.
A lot of us feel that way and then don't stand up for ourselves.
Exactly.
And then it festers like this particular situation where, you know, maybe you didn't say something at the beginning And now here we are because, you know, the disrespect went unchecked or the misunderstandings went unchecked. And now you're at a crossroads where the communication is dysfunctional and tempers are high. I think a piece of this that we can all practice is like, okay, if someone starts to show these behaviors to us early on, like how can we stand up for ourselves from the beginning without feeling judgmental or afraid to stand up for ourselves? I think it's not always easy to feel confident enough to speak for yourself and to stand up for yourself and to be, you know, assertive in that way. I remember we were talking about this the other day, like growing up, my dad always was trying to teach me the value of being assertive. And I always resisted that for a long, long time and was like, I didn't like the concept of being confident in my convictions and not backing down, you know, most likely because of what you said, mom, wanting people to like me, people pleasing, being too afraid of ruffling someone else's feathers. But I think there's a lot of power in being assertive and being strong in your convictions, especially when it comes to disrespect. And I think when we start to hit it from the get-go, it doesn't necessarily have time to fester, and maybe it won't lead to such a heightened place down the line.
I love that, Michelle. And I think you hit it on the head, you hit the nail on the head. I've just been sitting here thinking about what was the biggest trigger, and it is disrespect. And I think we've had an episode on disrespect, and I think it was one of our top episodes.
How we handle disrespect.
Yeah. So I want to
early episode.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of want to leave my portion of all this with this thought is that when I think back on the conversation, the first thing that I said after this person was done talking was, I'm feeling disrespected. I'm feeling like you're disrespecting me. And that person said, well, this is how it goes. This is how it goes. This is how it goes. And I said, I feel like I'm being disrespected, and never acknowledge that it is disrespectful. We are being disrespected when someone's not listening to us, when we come from a vulnerable place of saying, I'm feeling disrespected. That when you say that to someone, I don't care who it is, started off in a calm fashion, when you say that to someone, the answer back should be, I'm so sorry. Explain to me, how are you feeling disrespected? What is happening right now? What am I saying? What are we doing? What we need to address the disrespect, because you can't get to the issues if you're not addressing the disrespect. And so this person could not even acknowledge, because she did not think that she was being disrespectful. And so that's a problem. So the thing I wanted to say about that for me is, I've really done a deep dive into all this, is I believe, feel free to go over the person's head, especially if it's a work environment. Go to the next person in charge, if there is another next person in charge, which is this situation. You know, you're going to be dealing with it, but which is this situation. So there's always another angle, or there's always another way to work around something, especially when it involves, I believe, when you're being vulnerable and you're trying to resolve something and you're being disrespected.
Well, it's about looking for creative solutions, since you realize that you can't, and that dynamic was not working and was not going to work. So what can you do to move forward and be productive in the situation and find solutions?
Right. And knowing that you don't have to fix that situation. I think that was the other thing that came upon me. Sometimes we feel like we have to either be right, or we have to fix it, or we have to make it work, or we have to sort it out. Sometimes it's not possible. And as you said, finding another creative solution or finding another way around it possibly could make it all okay, or could make it all for both parties to be able to move forward in whatever way that is. I'm not by any means saying both parties move forward and everything is hunky-dory and we're all good. It just means there's another path that could be done to solve the solution, depending on what's happening.
Yeah. So ultimately, I think, you know, the whole gist of the situation is understanding and being open to the fact that we're not always going to be perfect or act completely in alignment, and having that expectation and even the thought that we could ultimately sets us up for disappointment and more self-judgment and self-criticism. And it's true. We reference this quote probably every other episode, but what Maya Angelou said, you know, when you know better, you do better. And we come into this life not knowing how to handle every single situation perfectly. There are so many dynamics at play in personalities and triggers and moods and feelings where in each given moment, we're picking up clues and pieces and breadcrumbs of how we react, of things that bother us or get under our skin, of, you know, other people's nuances, and then, you know, taking that all in and then using it for the next time. And I really think that that's the beauty of such a messy, complicated life, is that we can collect all of these clues. And, you know, if we're mindful and conscientious of it, put it forth as we continue on our life's paths. Other than that, there's nothing really we can do but have the intention to show up in our quote unquote best selves, be present, be mindful. And if something doesn't unfold in the way that we would like for it to, know that it's just another learning, a learning opportunity. And asking ourselves, what could I have done differently? What could I have said? Is there something that I could have done prior to that conversation that might have mitigated some of this tension? Is there some sort of amends or something that I need to do now to fix the situation? You know, again, we talk so often about the importance of asking ourselves questions. And Mom, I know this is a huge part of your practice at the end of the day in reflection of the day, going through the happenings of a 24-hour span and seeing how the day went. It's in those moments where we can really start to pinpoint, you know, the areas in our lives that maybe need a little more attention or maybe are the places where we can learn. And it's not an opportunity for us to be so critical and harsh on ourselves and judgmental, having judgment for ourselves, for the other people, because I do believe, and I know it's hard to maybe wrap our minds around this in the complicated times that we're living in, but I think a lot of us are just doing the best we can with the lives that we've been given day to day. And we're all complicated human beings living in this very messy existence. And we're not always going to get it right. And that's okay. It's how can we take the wrong or the messiness and use it to move us forward?
That is beautifully said, Michelle.
Thanks,
that is
Mom.
Really beautifully said. I love it.
And I think that's all we can hope for. You know, again, most of us aren't setting out to harm other people or to be cruel or difficult. We're just trying to make it through. And coming from that place and understanding that, I think is helpful when we do stumble.
Yeah, I love that.
Or when someone, you know, hurts us or isn't really acting in a way that we feel is appropriate.
I love it. And I think you really summed it up beautifully, Michelle. I hope that this conversation has helped anyone listening to it. If I think about it really deeply right now, this has been one of the most teachable moments, this whole conversation that I had to bring this to an episode of Barb Knows Best that I've had in a really long time, because I've really gotten deep into my own self. And if I recap what I would share with you as I love what you said, Michelle, as we go through life, the first thing I would say is life is not one straight path. And that's something that I think probably everything that I'm going to share, we already know. I already knew. But we're not always going to make the choice that's in our best interest and the best interest of the whole. I mean, that's just the way that it is. So life's not a straight path. So sometimes we have to take a little bend and a little turn away from certain people. So the first thing that I would say is just to really be cognizant of when you're being triggered.
Yeah.
And the minute that you're being triggered, take the pause. Just no matter what, just take the pause so that you can assess what's happening. Wait a minute, what's going on here for me? And then after you assess what's happening, maybe there's a boundary that needs to be set. What's happening for me is I've been through this already. I've had iterations of conversation like this already with a person or whatever it is you're going through, setting a boundary and finding another way. What is another way that I can deal with this? Because what I've done so far is not working. Because basically what I realized and what I think many of us might realize because of the people pleasing or the wanting to do the right thing or the wanting to be a good person or a kind person is we're not standing up for ourselves.
Yeah.
We're not owning it. I'm being disrespected. Let's take a pause. We need to figure this out. And so I think there's a delicate balance here of then not punishing yourself too much. Oh my gosh, I did act in a way that I wish I might not have acted, or I really, really dislike this person, and you get into that really angry mode at really just saying, okay, wait a minute, just stop it all. What's happening here? What do I need to look at? What am I feeling? And looking at how can I look at this in a way that's a little bit detached from my feelings, but owning my feelings and being open to reflection. That is one of my greatest practices, being open to reflection, understanding to ultimately come to a place of what could I have done differently? Because if you're feeling immense anger or rage or whatever it is, but you're also feeling bad about yourself, or you're feeling like, gosh, I wish I hadn't, what I was saying was true. See, that's the thing I went through. What I was saying was true. How I felt, you know, feelings aren't facts. Feelings aren't true or false. They're just feelings. But what I was saying was true. But because of my losing my temper, it lost the truthness of it, if that makes any sense. It kind of got derailed a little bit into the emotions. So understanding that, okay, yeah, this didn't go as planned. This would not be how I would want to handle any situation again. As you were saying, Michelle, know better, do better from Maya Angelou. How could I do it differently? And write it down. I've taken a lot of reflective notes on this, and I've written down, when I get triggered in this way, this is what I want to do. When this happens, this is what I want to do. This is the boundary that I need to set. It's okay not to have anything to do with someone that really triggers you in certain ways. Like giving yourself permission to really protect yourself, protect your safety, protect your peace, protect your sanity, protect your feelings about yourself, or protect your feelings about situations. And so I would just say, have mercy, have compassion. And when you come to a conclusion of what it is you need to do, always forgiving yourself or having good feelings for yourself. And for me, it was getting rid of the anger and the frustration and the total lack of respect, because I already made a decision of how I'm going to handle it. I wish this person well, and I've set the boundary. Yeah. So like kind of letting it go, not kind of, letting it go, because it's over.
Right.
You know, don't harbor that, oh my gosh, this person was awful, or oh my gosh, this happened, or oh, how did I react that way? Really, truly let it go. And the way you can let it go is by actually having a plan.
Yeah.
Because you said it beautifully. Know better, do better. Forgive yourself for not knowing what you didn't know before you learned it. Maya Angelou, the great Maya Angelou. When you have a plan, it's really easy to let things go.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Not harboring on the past, not beating yourself up. You know, when you feel like you're complete in your reflection, not letting yourself, you know, go back and replay things over and over again. Understanding the triggers and your emotions around the triggers and why potentially you're feeling triggered by a person or a situation. And of course, then setting the boundaries that, you know, go in line with that. Realizing, oh no, this is not someone that I can productively communicate with. Oh no, this is not a situation that brings out the best in me. I need to set a boundary here to protect my peace, and so that, you know, we can all move forward. And I think that's how we heal. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. And that's how we can feel, you know, confident and good in ourselves moment to moment, even if we, you know, don't show up as our best selves. It's like, we know we're always taking it in to do better next time.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, I think all we can hope for.
I love it.
So thanks, Mom, for letting you know, pick apart, you know, a sensitive situation for you for the show. Thanks for letting us mine your personal life for content. But I think it's really helpful, because these are, you know, those delicate nuances in life that happen that can throw us off track and make us feel confused and overwhelmed about life and the human experience. But it's normal to have these instances, and to feel triggered and have heightened emotions. But it doesn't have to take us out and make us throw everything away like we're bad people.
No. And thank you so much. That is the purpose of the show.
Yeah.
To share our personal experiences, to try to help in any way that we possibly can. Yeah. As we learn, we pass along all of our teachings, and hopefully there's a little nugget here and there that, you know, maybe a light went off and said, oh my gosh, maybe I could do that differently. Oh my gosh, I just learned something about myself. So that's the whole point. And I love you, and I love all of you listening, and thank you so much for being here.
Yep. Life happens and we just talk about it. So I love it. Thank you so much, Mom, again, for sharing and being so open and vulnerable. And thank you to all of our listeners and our wonderful community for being such fabulous supporters of the show. We are so grateful for all of you each and every single day and week. If you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so that you're always up to date with each new episode as it drops. If you haven't yet and you're loving the show, please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave a review. It's really, really helpful for us in the show, and we're so grateful and appreciative when you do so. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or want to request a future podcast topic, make sure you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That's always the best way to stay in touch. There are a few links in the show notes taking you to our Substacks if you want to join us over there. And that should do it for this week. Thank you so much again for listening, and we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.